you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it. Wow.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is hour number three of JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in today and tomorrow for Alex Keery, who is on sabbatical. He's trying to find himself. He's trying to find, I don't know what he's trying to find, but I hope he finds it. Alex will be out for the next 3 years, 3 weeks. The real reason is that the real reason is paternity leave. So we wish him the best while he's out. In the meantime, me and Sly are holding it down here on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's brought to you by G2G Bars, with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. It's never too early to talk about college football. We are constantly trying to educate ourselves with BYU in year two in the Big 12, Utah in year one of the Big 12. We're trying to get to know all their opponents, all the new rivals, everything about everybody. And we're going to continue to do that right now on The Cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is what made The Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to get to know the Arizona State Sun Devils a little bit better as they're going through spring football. Joining the show now is Chris Cartman, who is with Sun Devil Source of 24/7 Sports. Chris, thanks for joining the program.
Hey, good to be with you.
Oh, well, let's jump into this. Let's start with spring football for the Sun Devils. Where are they at right now? Are they started? Or are they well through? We've got BYU's already done here. Utah's into week three. So where's their schedule with spring football right now?
Yeah, ASU's only done one week, three practices of spring ball. They decided to start late. There's a few reasons. I think part of it is related to the transfer portal and trying to have a better chance to retain some of your players who are in competitions through spring ball. So there's strategy involved, but we're getting a pretty good sense already that practices are open to media. It's been very free for us to basically go and take a look and shoot video and everything. It's been great.
That's pretty refreshing to hear. That's not the case everywhere, especially not here with these established programs in Utah, and that's fine. Coaches have their prerogative. They can do whatever they want. Biggest storylines for the Sun Devils in spring football, what are those storylines?
I would say the competitive depth and size on the line of scrimmage, both sides, is a lot better than last spring. The program that they inherited, you really saw that their O-line and D-lines had been hollowed out, offensive in particular. And then they had a bunch of injuries through the season that was talked a lot about. But this year, ASU has 7 or 8 of its top 10 offensive linemen at 310-plus pounds. They're deeper. They've added 4 Division I transfers and retained a lot of their players. They have 2 guys back from injury who didn't really play almost at all, definitely not in the Pac-12 last season. And then D-line, they added 5 Division I transfers to try to help overcome the losses of Deshaun Mallory and B.J. Green. I think they're absolutely deeper, especially at tackle. And all of this is going to help them practice harder and more physically. They need to develop a lot of that toughness, both mentally and physically, that they didn't really have enough of last year.
Right. I mean, they got 23 new transfers in, and like 10 of those transfers are all interior linemen, right? You got O-line, D-line, a big mix of that. What was Kenny Dillingham's strategy coming into the offseason? How does he want to make a jump to the Big 12?
Yeah, he was pretty frustrated last year with their inability to practice the way he wanted, especially during the season. To develop players, you need to still have a day of the week or more where you're going hard, and especially with younger players that you're trying to develop. And they were so thin last year across the roster that they just couldn't practice the way that they wanted. And then not being in a bowl, obviously, you miss those opportunities. So just the overall development aspect and the training, the toughness, like Utah, BYU, I mean, like you look at those two teams and you think they are tremendously physical and tough at the line of scrimmage and really throughout their rosters and how hard they play, the way that wide receivers block, the way that defensive backs attack, plays out onto the perimeter. That's the standard, actually, that Dillingham has said for his program as far as like how hard that they play and the overall mentality of the program. So they're trying to foster and develop that, and they needed to get bigger and deeper at the line of scrimmage to really be able to get that going.
I really admire and respect Coach Dillingham for what he was able to accomplish in year one. We all know the dumpster fire he inherited and the problems that he had to bring to take on, the challenges he had to take on, and I think he did it as well as anybody could. That team was competitive in a lot of games last year. They had Washington on the brink. I think everybody appreciated the fight that team showed when they had nothing to play for all season long. What's the next step, though, for Coach Dillingham into year two? Obviously, we knew they was going to be tough from last year. How much of a step can they take in year two?
Well, I think considerably. The minimum standard has been elevated, and I'm not talking about wins and losses, but just guys last year were, you know, they were just focused on doing everything right that were basic type things, showing up on time and getting into the weight room and having the proper nutrition and studying film on their own. And I just feel like at the outset of spring ball this year, all of that stuff is already established to be very expected. And they're elevating in terms of just all these other areas that I think are really important to being successful, just getting guys to play heavier, faster, to understand their schemes a lot more. Like their installs are going way smoother this year. They're practicing with a lot better competitive energy and just like the conditioning of the players is better. So you put all that on the field with better play at the line of scrimmage, then really what it comes down to, because ASU has good receivers, good running backs, they have good skill in the secondary athletically. What it comes down really is the quarterback position. And that was absolutely the worst quarterback play that I've ever seen from ASU last season. And granted, they had a bunch of injuries and were on their fourth string quarterback by the third game of the season, and then continued to have some issues. Trent Bourget not being healthy, Jaden Rashada only playing in three games. But the leading passer for ASU had four touchdowns passes. Like, that's unheard of in modern football. And so they added Sam Levitt from Michigan State to transfer. He was a four-star recruit at a high school that Dillingham had recruited both at Florida and Oregon for a period of time. And they feel like he's somebody that has a good blend of size, athleticism, arm talent, also still very young. And so between him and Rashada, who is not going to be able to be a full participant in the spring because he had surgery on his thumb, they need to get an elevated level of play. And if they don't demonstrate that in the spring, you can't rule out ASU looking at maybe a senior quarterback in the spring transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, we experienced that when we played ASU this year. Scottaboo kind of had to throw a couple passes because the quarterback room at Arizona State was so thin. But you do know that, like, Bourget came in and gave a couple spells for you and made that happen. But, yeah, if Sam Levitt can come in, and we've been talking about it on this program, a quarterback is essential, right? We talked about it on the NFL level, you know, with Baker Mayfield and all these guys going to right programs and offensive coordinators, right? We're, you know, this is a big quarterback draft, and how important, you know, that relationship is to the program that you're going into. Yeah, you can have a great coordinator, but all these guys need to have a guy, right? I need to have a quarterback to be able to deliver the football. As you said, you guys got talent, right? You got Elijah Badger. I seen you just seen just signed Relique Brown in the transfer portal. You got some young guys coming up. Who is that? Who are some of these new guys that I know there's only three practices in, but who are some of these new guys that, you know, a lot of people should probably take note of?
Well, you know, they do have quite a few talented newcomers, but they also have some guys that are returning at the skill positions that maybe just were not really understood or appreciated for their capability last year when you don't have the protection to be able to set up the throw down the field. So Troy O'Meary is a receiver who a lot of people are not really familiar with him, but he's 6'4", 230, transferred from Texas. He looks great. And Jake Smith sat out last season transferring from USC. He was a former Gatorade Player of the Year as a wide receiver who went Texas, USC, ASU. So he had to sit out, second time transfer. That rule no longer applies. And then Jordan Tyson was recovering almost all of last season with a leg injury that he suffered in November of 2022. But he was a leading receiver as a freshman for Colorado 2 years ago. So those guys, along with Badger and Melquan Stovall, who's back, give you a really great wide receiver room. And I feel like the additions for ASU with the skill positions are you know, Relique Brown, you mentioned. I mean, he's the twitchiest probably athlete they have on offense, a guy that you can throw the ball to, get it up to him on end arounds, jet sweeps, and play some two-back type structures. That's a big thing. And then defensively, Xavion Alford was a safety. He sat out last year. Also, Texas, USC, ASU couldn't play, probably would have started, or Chris Edmonds, who was a starter last year. And then they basically got several other defensive backs in the transfer portal who I think are going to compete for a starting role right away. Javon Robinson from Washington State, he was like their number three corner. They got Cole Martin from Oregon. He was a four-star recruit. He's from Chandler. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to start at nickel. And then they added two linebackers. Zyrus Fiasu was a team MVP at San Diego State last year as a sophomore and tied for the team lead in tackles. And then Keyshawn Elliott had 110 tackles, I believe, at New Mexico State, which was a 10-win team last year. So, you know, excluding the nine scholarship newcomers along the defensive line and offensive lines that they got all these other guys that are that have a chance to start.
I want to revisit the quarterback competition real quick. Obviously, Jaden Rashada out for spring with a thumb injury, and you mentioned some of the guys in that race. How open is that competition? If Rashada's healthy, is he the guy in the fall, or is this a really wide-open competition?
I think it's definitely open. Bourget is the least likely of the three to be the starter, I think, just based upon it's already seen that his – He has a high floor but a very low ceiling as a quarterback. And the reality is ASU needs to be able to get the ball down the field better than he really can provide. He's more of a distributor on a lot of short area type stuff. And that's okay, but the offense lacked explosiveness. It was so bad. And so Sam Levitt and Rashada, both of those guys have bigger arms that can access the full field to try to take advantage of ASU's playmakers at receiver who really couldn't do anything last year. And that in turn, of course, gives you better balance with your offense. So really I think it's primarily going to be between Levitt and Rashada if he's healthy and both of them are with the team through camp, which you never know these days, right? But in the event that one of those guys decides to check out, or the injury issues, or just the play isn't very good or good enough between Dillingham and his new offensive coordinator, Marcus Arroyo, who had been the head coach at UNLV for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, he was an OC at Oregon. He's been around the game a long time. I think those guys may decide, okay, maybe we need to look at getting even another quarterback who's a senior while we allow Rashada and or Levitt to develop for another year. That's not saying that's going to happen, but you can't rule that out. And the quarterback position is so important, as you just said, that's something that you have to be in mind.
I love it. I mean, you're saying a lot of great things. I'm a big balance guy. You know, I feel like your personnel, your coaching staff, And for football, I think just where things are aligned, right? You know, where your schedule puts you, how does that put you? When you look at your schedule and you look at your roster, you see what guys you guys have coming in, how do you think this team sets itself up for next year in this schedule?
Well, it's a better team for sure. And I think probably on both sides of the ball, you wonder how much better are other teams getting in the transfer portal era where recruiting misses have less impact because you don't carry those guys on your roster as much. And everybody's kind of bringing in players that have started or played a lot at lower levels. So that's the challenge. The challenge really is I've been covering ASU about 20 years. I used to be able to say, this is a 6 or 7 win team. And then they almost always were a 6 or 7 win team roughly. But I feel like just watching ASU, this looks like a team that can be a 500 type of a team, or maybe even a little bit better than that if the quarterback thing works out. But then how much better are these other teams getting or not? That I haven't watched a lot of, because I'm a college football fan, but I'm not watching Kansas State and UCF and, West Virginia a lot. And I can look at who they got on paper, but it's hard to evaluate how much those guys are impacting their rosters. And that creates, I think, which is exciting, that creates a greater variance and an ability for teams to quickly improve their roster a lot more. So, but I do think ASU is going to be very competitive this year.
How do Arizona State fans, supporters feel about this move to the Big 12? Is there some excitement about the freshness of it, or is it just, this is just how it all shook out, this is how it's got to be? What's the attitude among fans about this move?
Yeah, so I think it's very bittersweet. A lot of ASU fans prefer the historical, traditions of the Pac-12, but at the same time saw failed leadership and bad strategy. And so you don't want to align yourself with failed leaders and bad strategy and even a lack of competitive will to be great in football and or in men's basketball. I think that's a big problem at ASU. ASU has more varsity sports and more scholarship players than any team in any school in the Big 12. Right. And so that comes down to the mindset or the ethos of what a college administrator or president, prefers the school to be. So ASU fans saw the Pac-12 dying, understands the Big 12 is very passionate and competitive, and they wanted to be a part of that. That was a preference. At the same time, you're losing a lot of things that you've always really liked about college sports and college football, and that's sad. And then also, for basketball, this is a crushing thing. Like, the Big 12 is so good that a team like ASU, which doesn't have great NIL or a great arena or other things, and has Bobby Hurley 9 years in and not been very successful, this is going to be very, very painful, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, BYU, they were a huge surprise. Maybe a new change of scenery can help flip things, but change is always interesting, but we look forward to that change. Utah fans feel the same way as their ASU fans. I think it's bittersweet, but on to the next and onward and upward, and I think there's a lot of excitement about what this Big 12 can be. We're excited to cover it, and Chris, we appreciate your time giving us some insight on the Arizona State Sun Devils. Feel like Kenny Dillingham has things going in the right direction. So we appreciate you taking some time on the show today, and look forward to seeing you and your coverage coming up this fall.
Glad to be with you anytime.
Thanks, Chris.
That's Chris Cartman, Sun Devil source of 24/7 Sports. If you want to get to know Arizona State better before the games this fall, he's your source. So Arizona State's interesting slide. It's kind of a wild card. If that program wakes up, it feels like it's a sleeping giant. You can win there.
Yeah.
You really can.
Well, we talk about market, right? I
sure.
You like what you have down there, but I think they need a couple more resources. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you can turn a program around in a year. With the way the transfer portal is, with good people at the helm, you can turn a program
100%.
around. So yeah, they have the potential.
Again, you gotta have a quarterback. Do they have one? Not sure about that, but that's gonna be the X factor for them. If Jaden Rashada is what everyone says he is and he's healthy, then I think they got something. If that's not what they have in the fall, I think it's going to be a rough go for them.
What's good is, I mean, it's just a thumb injury. It's not like a shoulder or a clavicle or something like that.
I mean, Jaden Rashada came in with a lot of hype, but he hasn't proven anything yet.
Right.
And you're looking at a Big 12 with a lot of great quarterbacks. A lot of proven talent. We just talked about KJ Jefferson as one of those guys.
KJ Jefferson, Cam Rising.
And he's probably middle of the
Noah
pack.
Noah Fifita. Yeah.
Good players. Kansas State's quarterback's really good. He's going to get a chance to flash.
It's a Daniels kid, too,
yeah,
right?
New guy. Well, Daniels is at the at Kansas. I'm forgetting the Kansas State quarterback's name right now. He didn't play last year. The starter transferred. He's coming in. A lot of hype. They're really excited about him. Iowa State's quarterback is back. West Virginia's quarterback returns. If Texas Tech can find a quarterback, look out for them. You see, I start going through all these teams. You're like, ah, okay. A team like Arizona State, while they are on the up, that's a long climb to make to get ahead of these other teams in the conference that are more established and more sure about who they are. You got to have a quarterback to win big in the Big 12, and it remains to be seen if Arizona State has that quarterback. We will find out this fall, but that's a program that I'm always looking at. I'm like, that's a sleeping giant. Somebody, the right coach goes in there.
It could be. It could be.
You could kill it there, and they could become a force, but it's just never worked out consistently over time, not since the 70s anyway, when Arizona State was really good. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with the NFL Blitz on JJ and Alex 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2GBar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
All the latest news and notes from the league and the locals in the NFL. JJ and Alex bring you the NFL Blitz on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know what that music means. It's time for our daily NFL Blitz. And I'm glad that Sly's here to do this with me. Somebody's played in the league, knows the league. So much going on in the league. All the free agency stuff is kind of done. All the dust is settled, Sly. We know where everyone is. There's one matter that hasn't been settled this offseason, and it has to do with former BYU and Corner Canyon quarterback Zach Wilson. He is still a New York Jet. How on earth is he still a New York Jet? Because we all know they want to change what they're doing there. He's not coming back.
It's not going to be the future.
Right, so why are they holding on to him right now?
Yeah, I don't know. The other two quarterbacks on the roster are quite aged, you know. I just look at Tyrod Taylor going on his 13th, 14th year in the league.
Right.
You know, he's been
35 years old.
Yeah, a traditional backup. Aaron Rodgers is almost 40. You know, he's only got 1 or 2 years, but that was this whole deal with the Jets. They've made a lot of moves to just keep it, you know, trying to win right now.
Yeah.
That's where all their moves have shown is like, no, we're focusing on right now. But none of those plays have Zach Wilson, and especially the way that they've been talking about him the last year or two, is he is not what they're looking for in the future.
He's going to be third string if things stay the same. That doesn't do him any good. It doesn't do the Jets any good. He needs a change of scenery. The Jets need to move him so they can rid themselves of that distraction, because the questions are going to continue there for their front office. So let's say they do finally move him. What are the best fits around the league? Well, NFL.com analyst Bucky Brooks wrote this. He was doing the research himself, asking himself the question, what are the best team fits for former BYU star Zach Wilson? What three spots in the league would be the best? I'm going to throw out the ones he mentioned. I want to get your reaction to them. We're going to start with the first one he mentions. The Kansas City Chiefs, he says, as Mahomes' understudy in a championship environment, Wilson could sit back and learn how to play the position at a high level from a coach and quarterback who have cracked the code while honing his skills on the practice field. Do you agree?
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think Zach Wilson, honestly, he did better when Aaron Rodgers took the spotlight off of him, but then he got injured and then it just literally put it on there. But literally, if Zach Wilson can just, he hasn't had good mentors.
Yes.
You don't have good mentors in New York. We were talking about it earlier.
Defensive coach.
There's not many good organizations that take pride in development, right? And so if you don't have development in your core as an organization, then you need to look at players to be able to learn from, mentor off of, and get all that from. And you're not getting that in New York. But you can get that from Andy Reid. You can get that from Patrick Mahomes. He's a team guy. He loves it. Was it Chad Henne was his backup when you know, Patrick Mahomes got...
And they needed him in the playoffs. Well,
against the Browns, yes. Right? And Baker Mayfield came into Kansas City and was handling business in the playoffs. And Patrick Mahomes got knocked out and Chad Henne came and make it happen. That could be Zach Wilson in Kansas City. You know, he could live. You know, just understand it's Patrick Mahomes' team. I like that move. Anything to get Zach Wilson out of New York for me, I think, is a win. But going to a stable franchise where he can develop and build his confidence back is what I would say Zach Wilson needs to go into.
Seems like a good fit with Andy Reid. Time to sit back and learn from the best in the game, which is Patrick Mahomes.
BYU guy.
Exactly. So number two, the Denver Broncos. He says Denver might draft a quarterback, but Peyton could give Wilson an opportunity to compete for a starting job with Jarrett Stidham while teaching him how to play winning football to position. If Wilson can handle Peyton's hard-nosed coaching and tough love approach, he could maximize his potential under an offensive-minded tutor who understands the position and how to build around the strengths of his quarterback's game. Would he be a good fit with the Broncos?
My opinion on that is if he can handle New York, he can handle Sean Payton's scrutiny.
No doubt.
Oh, I mean, because New York is brutal. I love New York because I'll live there and I can give it right back. But if you can handle all that city doing what they did to you, and he did. I think, you know, he came in sparingly, didn't do well. They berated him, but when he did well, they loved him up and then hated him the next week. I think you could ride the wave with Sean Payton's energy if he's out of the opportunity there. And I think Sean Payton's personality to me is he wants to win. He's not taking favorites. You know, of course, if you draft somebody higher, you have to give them the opportunity to excel. But outside of that, Sean Payton just wants to win. You see, he started early with Taysom Hill down there in New Orleans. But you put guys in the best position to win, I think that Sean Payton would give Zach Wilson an opportunity to contribute on this football team.
This would be a great situation for Zach because he'd be learning from one of the best quarterback tutors in the game.
Yes.
Who's had success.
Yes.
And the other thing about, and I do think Zach's very coachable. Even with everything that's gone on, I still think Zach is very coachable, and he has a humility about them that will allow him to be coached at that level. But here's why this stands out to me as a better opportunity than the one in Kansas City, because Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. In Denver, they don't have a guy. If you go there and it goes well with Sean Payton and you unlock a code here and you become the best quarterback you can be, they need a starting quarterback.
All right.
And so that's the greater opportunity for Zach Wilson if he could land there. The last one he throws out, the L.A. Chargers. Mm. Jim Harbaugh knows how to get the best out of his quarterbacks. Harbaugh's old school methods might scare off some quarterbacks, but Wilson could use the confidence and toughness the coach engenders through his grizzled approach. What do you think about the Chargers?
Again, I think it's very similar to the Kansas City situation,
yeah.
Right? Of course, you have Justin Herbert there, but the pressure's off. You got a good organization. You got a coach who is a quarterback. And so he would definitely be another good quarterback tutor. Again, we have to go to a situation where he can be comfortable and he can grow. Sean Payton, quarterback guru. Jim Harbaugh is a quarterback himself, but a great coach and knows how to bring people together. Is a better motivator than I believe Robert Saleh is.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Jim Harbaugh will get out into the media and scrutinize Zach Wilson the way Robert Saleh did. And so that is something that a young guy who in this game, they'll tell you, as physical as it is, the game is 85% mental. And if your mental game as a quarterback is off, you are going to be off in many, many other situations, even when you begin to be presented with an opportunity. So I think that this situation is also another beneficial situation. You're closer to home on the West Coast, and you're going to a quarterback head coach with a team that's on the rise.
Absolutely. I like all three for him, but I think the Broncos are the better one. Because the reason I said,
he can play right now.
You've got a chance to actually become the starting quarterback there. You do not have that chance at the other two destinations, but all three could save Zach Wilson's career. And this gets us to another part of the conversation we were having off air about how important it is not where you're drafted, but where you land.
Mm.
And we have a draft coming up here, and there's a lot of great quarterbacks in this draft, Sly. And I think, with the exception of one, I think what will determine the success of these quarterbacks is not where they're taken in the draft, but where they're going to actually land. Because let's take, for instance, Caleb Williams. We know he's going to be a Chicago Bear. Chicago's where quarterbacks go to die.
Mm.
Name an all-pro quarterback from that's played for the Chicago Bears. Who's the greatest Chicago Bear quarterback
Rex
of all
Grossman,
time?
Rex Grossman, come on. Rex.
I mean, you got to go all the way back to Jim McMahon, and he couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
I mean, what, like, there's probably, like, Sid Gilman or something like that from the 19-whatevers. You got to go back 50 years probably to find somebody, like, pre-Super Bowl era. Maybe you have to go back that far, but let's talk Super Bowl era. It's a barren wasteland when it comes to quarterbacks in Chicago.
The Bears.
So Caleb Williams, who may be a generational talent, we don't know yet, but we think, is going to one of the worst possible quarterback destinations historically in the league. And the others aren't great either. Who do you want to go play with, the Commanders? Is Dan Quinn going to help you become a great NFL quarterback? No, he's a defensive guy. So is Jaden Daniels or Drake May going to a great situation with the Commanders? I don't think so. Those guys are going to have a really hard time succeeding there. The Patriots now, in the transition they're going through. That's another defensive coach. I mean, this is not where quarterbacks are going to thrive. And you're looking at other situations around the league where guys could go late. I'm looking at the Broncos right now. If I'm Michael Penix Jr. or I'm Bo Nix, I'm like, I'm glad I'm in middle rounds because I might get taken by the Broncos.
Right.
The Minnesota Vikings need a quarterback.
And I think Penix would be great there too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Michael Penix Jr. throwing passes to Justin Jefferson.
And Jordan Addison.
Oh, boy.
TJ Hockenson.
Oh, wow. See what I'm saw? Am I wrong here?
No, you're selling it. And I told you this the last few years we've been doing the draft. It's like going early in the draft is not as great as people may see.
It's good for the ego.
It's good for your ego.
It's good for your bank account.
But literally, over time, there's been more successful second round, third round guys than there has been first rounders. First rounders, I just believe, are given more opportunities to succeed than any other person that's right. That's the only, for me and my experience and seen over the years, that is the only thing that I believe sets apart a first rounder from somebody else, is they get more opportunities to fail than other people.
No question about it. Patrick Mahomes was not a number one overall pick, was he?
No.
But where did he go? He landed with Andy Reid and
good
the
situation.
Kansas City Chiefs. Who
great
traded
situation.
Up to get him.
Sorry. Great situation.
Yes.
They were a winning team already
and
with Alex Smith.
They had a good
Smith.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
They were a playoff team. But what did they do? Andy Reid knew what he was doing.
What did he see in Patrick Mahomes in college?
He saw something. He saw greatness, and we saw it all play it out.
1,200-yard matchup against Baker Mayfield. That's what he saw.
So when Sean Payton wants to meet with you and talk to you,
yeah,
and it's Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., I'm thrilled.
But for that, you say you're talking about these head coaches, Dan Quinn, Gerard Mayo,
yeah,
you know, all of this. But what about the offensive coordinator for me is who it is, right?
Absolutely, that
right?
helps too.
And so Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury and Brian Johnson's over there. And so I think Cliff Kingsbury, his offensive coordinator track record is a better resume than most. His head coaching, that's a whole different situation. Now,
yes,
if you got these head coaches that'll let the offensive coordinators do what they need to do to develop this offensive game, that's a different situation than the head coach taking credit for a passing game.
I'm not sold on Cliff Kingsbury. I know that you're going to say that's the Heisman trophies and everything else that's going on with that and who he's coached, and I get it, but there's just, I don't know.
It's aggressive mindset. I was talking to you about Bruce Arians, right?
Yeah.
And like Bruce Arians' aggressive mindset coupled with a guy. If you have a guy that can take care of that aggressive mindset in the pass game, you're going to have some splash plays.
Maybe I'll be wrong and Jaden Daniels and the Commanders might actually work out as for the reasons you say. But again, head coach is a defensive coach, which is always a red flag for me. All right. Good conversation. Best and worst is next. On JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show. As JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
It's brought to you by Doug Smith Dealerships for an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram. Visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. I'm not as good as Alex doing that. In fact, that might be the worst of the day. I apologize. I'll do better tomorrow because I have to read this while he's gone. Again, I apologize to everybody for that attempt at singing that jingle. We'll move on.
Hey, nobody wants to hear me do it.
You'll do better than me. All right, LeBron James is our best. And look, LeBron James is one of the all-time greats. We're not going to have this GOAT conversation with LeBron. I think that's cliche and tired, but what LeBron continues to do at his age is just phenomenal. Sly, I know you're a Lakers fan, so you're loving this. 40 points on Sunday. In fact, he made 9 threes, which is a new career high. LeBron James is still at his age setting career highs. He's playing at that high of a level. And I got to be honest, I'm a Laker hater, Sly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to say anything positive about the Lakers. But if they get through that play-in situation, which they're going to have to win through, which is not going to be easy, and they get the 8 or the 7 just like they did last year,
mm-hmm.
They could be right back in the conference finals again, which makes me so angry.
Well, first of all, for me, I grew up a Lakers fan. And then I grew up into a LeBron James fan. So now that they married, it's just like match made in heaven for me, right? So I'm a big LeBron fan. But what he's doing, man, it's kind of like he has to keep going. Because it's just like, how far can you take this? Like Tom Brady, we're just like, keep going. How far can you take this? You're doing this night in, night out. I mean, he's played what? Out of the, 73, 78 games they've played this year, he's played 60 games?
A lot. I don't have it in front of me, but I do believe he's eligible for the postseason awards. So,
right.
Yes, he's played a lot of games this year.
And so, like, just that guy, that alone, this guy is literally, you know, he's just changing the mold.
65 games played this year so far.
65 out of their, 74 games?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and he's played at a high level. I think he's averaged, 25? Did he average 24, 25 this year?
Yes.
You know, and I believe, like, he's been taken back. Yeah, he's averaged 25.4.
Correct.
8 assists a game. You know, he's still leading the team in a lot of categories. I mean, but he's been like this every single, he's for his career, 25,
the consistency
7-7.
Over 20 years is remarkable. I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again.
No.
And we just witnessed it on the football side with Tom Brady, but it's just when you see athletes that are this great and are able to do it consistently
you
for
can't
so long,
hate it.
It just boggles the mind. You're right.
You can't
hate it. You learn to respect it.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of Jazz fans, I know, really respect Kobe right now, but when he was in his prime, hated him.
Hated
right? Because he was always in the way.
And that's what's going to be with LeBron. When he's done, everybody's going to be like, man, we truly missed. Because
we will not appreciate LeBron James the way we should until his career ends, which is coming soon. And he even admitted it yesterday in the postgame.
You know, for me, I'm a big LeBron James fan. Can't tell me different. But he plays into the dramatics. He does. I think this is setting the stage. For me, listening to the question asked, I didn't think it needed the explanation that he gave. But hey, I mean, he's almost 40 years old. Who knows how he's feeling? But you know, you never heard that from Tom Brady at this stage. That like, oh, I know it's going to be here. We're kind of winding down. It's just another narrative to go onto it. But that's part of his game. That's part of his controlling the narrative, controlling the media, as far as that goes, keeping his name in people's mouths, keeping that conversation going. So, for me, it just goes to the court. What he's able to do on the court with his abilities, with his size, with his power, with his capabilities, night in and night out, it's just absolutely amazing. And I'm excited for these playoffs. Actually, one of my friends wants to bet me coming up, so I gotta create some terms, you know, see how far the Lakers can make it, because I always win. I gotta make sure I win.
Sly, be careful. The Nuggets are still the Nuggets. They're very good.
I'm trying to tell you, if Nuggets are one and we're the seventh seed, or Lakers are the seventh seed, and they're on the other side of the bracket, of the playoff bracket, meet at the conference finals again.
Okay. So we went from the best. Now we don't have time for a worst, but I'm saying that's the worst. The Lakers are the worst.
D'Angelo
I hate
Russell.
The Lakers. You are the worst, the Lakers. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care that LeBron James plays your team. Lakers, you
are
the worst. All right, we got to take a short break. More JJ and Alex with Stevenson's Lister when we come back. 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.